I'm sure nobody goes on vacation expecting to be dismembered and put through a wood chipper, but some tourists are just assholes and deserve their fate.
Period. And welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast bringing you all of Book Talk's most popular books and telling you whether or not you should take time out of your busy schedule to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey, and today we are reading the new book by Bryn Weaver, who is the author of Butcher and Blackbird. And tourist season is similarly themed for our next spooky season read. It's about two serial killers, a serial killer rom-com, where one of the... Oh my gosh, I'm going to start over. The female main character has moved to this tiny little town, and she basically targets people who are asshole tourists who are trying to ruin the town with their disgustingness. And so she removes them. And the male main character believes he and his brother were in a very serious hit and run accident. His brother was killed, he was seriously injured, and he is hunting down the people who were involved in the accident as revenge. And he believes that our female main character was involved. So that's kind of the start. That's the setup for the plot. They kind of reach a truce, a temporary truce. And that's kind of the space in which the book takes place as these characters deal with other conflicts in the book. There's a mentor serial killer, there's a mystery serial killer, there's truly so many serial killers in this one, and we follow the main character's romance as they deal with all of this.
And it's smutty.
Of course.
Yes, it is smutty. Some very unique scenes in this one.
BDSM, y'all.
Yep.
Yeah.
The author
Allie Hazelwood promised and did not deliver, Bryn Weaver did.
Yes.
Yes.
She did. The author is kind enough to provide a very exhaustive trigger warning list ahead of her books. So definitely take that into account because it is a bit raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well,
do y'all have reviews?
Oh, yes. I have a few, honestly.
Go for it.
Okay. 4.75 stars. I don't know how Bryn Weaver can write four books with essentially the same plot, and I'll eat that shit up every time.
So fair.
5 stars. Bryn Weaver, you are so evil for writing a book this good without a sequel release date. Tourist season was everything I didn't know I needed. A true enemies to lovers romance can be hard to accomplish in a contemporary setting, even with serial killers, and this was a perfect example. And then my favorite, 66% DNF. Too much murder, not enough sex.
So fair.
Low-key wild statement. Because there was also a lot of sex. Like, there was a lot of both.
There was a lot of murder, though.
Yeah, there was a lot of murder.
I enjoyed both.
Okay. I have two reviews. Both 1 stars. And they're both longer. Oh, actually, one of them's 2 star. But whatever. The first one. I love a well-written miscommunication trope. And this was a not well-written miscommunication trope.
Saw that one. I figured you'd read it.
And then the second one, I was expecting gory murder mayhem, but instead I was ... bored.
What?
There's a lot going on in this book, so that's kind of shocking at this point. I also have a 1-star review from Goodreads, and it's kind of funny because I feel like this is a very niche, like if you're in the book review world, kind of thing that happens. I'm convinced I don't read the same books.
Yeah.
Yeah. That everyone else is like 5 stars. And then we're like, this was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah.
Well, not this one, but other books that has happened to us, like Colleen Hoover.
Yes. All right. Well, the book overall is being very well reviewed. The overall Goodreads rating is 4.34 out of 5. The Fable review rating is 4.36 out of 5. And on StoryGraph, it has 4.32 out of 5. Where are you guys?
I feel like if we all average out all of our scores, it would come to this.
Yeah, I think almost exactly.
Mm-hmm. I gave it 5 stars. Y'all know I love Butcher and Blackbird. And while this was not the same romance and the plot was a little at sometimes, I still ate it up. I don't care. It was one of those. I'm like, just screw it. 5 stars. I loved it. mine is the massive cliffhanger at the end, which honestly is what kind of pushed me to 5 stars.
Yeah, I also gave it 5 stars, and I was going to give it 4 throughout the entire book because I don't think it lives up to Butcher and Blackbird's hype. I think Butcher and Blackbird does a better job with the romance. But that cliffhanger, though, has me very interested and very intrigued. And I like that this is a series instead of a standalone. And I like how it's connected to the world in general, because like her other series is standalone trilogy, which is like you can read on or you don't have to. Like it's not. Yeah. So it's
the very characters all overlap in the other three. It's three brothers.
Yeah. But you don't have to read on. It's not like a cliffhanger kind of thing. Like their stories end at the end of the books. This is not the case for this one. So I'm very curious.
Very true.
Dun, dun, dun. Here comes
Katie. Guys, here comes the romance hater.
Yeah. We need to get a sound effect for her. Here comes.
Yeah, this is another one where we're going to disagree on pretty much everything, I think.
Yeah, that's fine. So, whatever.
I gave the book 3 stars, but I thought really, really long and hard about giving this book 2 stars. I did not like it at all. It was a huge disappointment for me because I loved Butcher and Blackbird. It's one of the only romances that I've like genuinely loved. I thought it was insta-love. I thought the entire tension from the romance came from miscommunication. The entire plot and like tension between the characters is driven by this one miscommunication part that we don't even get fully resolved in the book. And that was the only reason I read the book, was to find this one answer that is not addressed, which is crazy to me because it is literally the center of the plot. And then I also saw the plot twist coming, which I actually like sort of surprised other people didn't, because I'm not super good at guessing the ending of books, but I thought it was all kind of predictable and boring. And also,
sorry, 5 full stars for Arthur's relationship in general.
Yes, I loved Arthur. I did see the plot twist coming as well, Casey, but I
knew it was something like that.
Yeah. I didn't dock points for that because like I predict a lot of things at this point from reading so many goddamn books.
Yeah. So anyway, this one was not for me. And
it's because they're not Irish, isn't it?
Yeah. You didn't have an Irish man reading it to you.
Exactly. I needed to recreate my Butcher and Blackbird experience and let the sexy male narrator carry me through. But
yeah, the male narrator was not as sexy. I'll tell you that right now.
One of the reasons the book did not get 2 stars from me and instead got 3 was the great sex scenes. So, you know,
they were
good. Some good things to say about the book.
Guys, got a little weird for me at the end, but we'll get there.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's mostly good. Yeah. Got a little weird. So we do average out, like you said, to about a 4.3.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay, so the first non-spoiler discussion is the book more plot or character driven?
Here's a question. Does the miscommunication trope make it character driven?
Yeah.
No.
Well, because
discovering miscommunication isn't character development.
That's true. That's the characters being dumb.
Yeah. Oh, God. They both really... They are causing me forehead wrinkles.
Like, this is the eye rolls I'm giving you is causing me wrinkles. there's a lot of plot in this book. It's action-y. There's a lot of murder.
It's more plot driven for sure, but there's a mix of character driven in its essence because it is a romance book, but a lot of plot is happening in this book.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so we all read Butcher and Blackbird. Am I the only one who read On?
I think so.
Yep.
Okay, I read Leather and Lark, which I did not like nearly as much as Butcher and Blackbird. I think I give it a 3, if not 2. Oh. Also, there was no plot in that book. It was entirely sex, and that's why. Not saying it wasn't good for the girls who liked that, but like I need a little bit of plot. So I did not read Scythe and Sparrow, the third one. I don't know. I'm kind of curious still. Maybe I'll go back. However, I do recommend reading Butcher and Blackbird before this one.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think it's actually necessary because there is... There's little hints.
I mean, you would have been more surprised if you hadn't read Butcher and Blackbird.
Yeah.
Also... I mean, I don't think it's spoiling it to say these books occur in the same universe and there's connections to Butcher and Blackbird.
Right. Like the big reveal wasn't a huge reveal because we read Butcher and Blackbird.
So we knew. Yes.
Yeah.
Like you could pick up the hints.
Yeah.
Okay. So how was the pacing of the book for you guys? How long did it take y'all to read?
In 2 days.
I listened to it in 1 day.
I couldn't put it down, guys. Her writing is so funny. It's so well paced to me. When I didn't super love Leather and Lark, like I blew through it because she's funny and keeps me reading.
Same.
I had to read this book quickly because I was a bad busy girl and procrastinated on it. So I did not have a lot of time to finish it. But to be honest, the middle of the book really, really dragged for me. There's a period of time when there's not really plot happening. There's just sort of like going about the town and having sex and like
digging. You say that like that's a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing. I just felt like there wasn't a lot of like motor behind the story. And because I wasn't super invested in the romance and didn't love the main characters that much, that meant I was very bored. So I don't know how long it would have taken me to read it. I can tell you because of our scheduling snafu, I had read like 80% of the book in basically 1 day because I had procrastinated it so much. Then I did not pick it back up to read the other 20% until like 5 days later because I just...
Well, that's why you didn't like it as much. You lost the momentum. This book was well read in like 1 or 2 sittings.
Yeah.
The reason I didn't pick it back up is because I was bored. And so yeah. I just didn't want to. So I did not love the pacing of the book. I think if you're not super into romance, then, you know, there's not that much to read it for.
It's definitely for the romance girlies, for sure.
Or the morbid girlies like me.
That's crazy.
Or K no los dos.
Crazy sentence.
I mean, I like Criminal Minds, you know?
Me too.
It is what it is.
SVU.
There's right. A weird cross-section where it works somehow.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the cross-section is journalism romance girlies.
That is so true.
The romance girlies that need a little bit of an adrenaline hit.
Yes. The girlies who used to stay up late writing about shootings. That's the cross-section.
Yeah, need a little breaking news to...
Right. Mm-hmm.
Need a little spice in our life.
Right. Mm,
a little. Oh.
Okay, so would you guys watch a movie or a TV show of the book?
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
there was a trigger warning for hamburgers I never totally got.
Oh, it's very small part.
I got it, I think.
But yeah.
There are a lot of trigger warnings.
But it's a trigger warning for Butcher and Blackbird.
Some of them would need to be cut out of a TV show. I don't know. This, honestly, her writing gives me Scream Queens. I think I maybe said that before. Like, I loved Scream Queens, and sometimes it made me gag.
Yeah, that is true. And I also did love Scream Queens.
Same.
Okay. Now, on to Busy Girl reading.
I'm going to keep it at a 5 because it's really well paced for me, at least for a romance girly. I understand many people aren't romance girly, so I probably should downgrade it, but I'm not going to because that's my truth. I'm sticking to it.
I actually am going to downgrade to a 4 because there are some people who will not be able to get through this because of some of the icks in it.
That's so fair.
But the pacing's great otherwise.
I feel like if you put it this way, if you read Bride and were not icked out, you'll have no problem with this book. But if Bride icked you out,
you're not the same.
You definitely don't have the stomach. I just mean like if you know, niche.
Those are different icks.
Are you saying if nodding icks you out, don't read this book?
Murder and nodding are different things.
Yeah.
I feel like there's just readers who are just more tolerant of more like niche kinks being in books and readers who are very put off by that kind of thing. And I think that's what I mean. Like, though I was not put off by the niche kink in this book.
I mean, there are girlies out here reading books about guns being stuck up hoo-has. I think we're doing okay.
We're not reading that one, guys.
No.
I don't do that kind of dark shit.
Yeah, never recommend
That's a really dark one with some problematic romance. We're not doing that one.
Right. Yeah, we don't do the dark fantasy. The dark fantasy.
Okay, so what was your busy girl reading?
Oh, sorry. I got distracted. I'm going to stick Catherine with the 3.
Did that.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm going to stick with a 3. Yeah. I would, you know, if I have friends that like rom-coms, I feel like, you know, this book, they'll probably enjoy it. But if it's not your thing, then you'll probably be like me and you won't like it. So.
So fair. Well, okay. I guess we can discuss hamburgers and stuff now.
Jazz hands.
Yeah. Jazz hands. Spoiler alert. Yeah. All right. So stop here. If you haven't read the book or listened to it on audiobook, it's very fun. Just saying. And then come back once you have finished.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about it. I'm so excited. I thought we were filming this one last week and I was so excited to talk about it. And now I've had to wait a whole week.
Yeah.
Anyway, Casey and I both read the wrong book last week. That's why the episode was late. Sorry.
Crazy. It's so crazy that we both read the wrong book.
I still think Catherine was gaslighting
us. I didn't gaslight you at all.
Luckily, I happen to have read both, but okay. Let's talk about Nolan and Harper and the insta love on one part, enemies to lovers on the other part, romance.
This was insta love on both parts. Like, they were obsessed with each other, could not get stop thinking about each other from day one. And I was just like so over it.
I mean, it's insta love on Harper's part, it's insta connection chemistry on Nolan's part.
Oh, see, I was gonna say Nolan was the insta love and Harper was the enemies to lovers.
And that's exactly what I mean. I'm sorry.
So now we're all on different pages and I'm confused.
Yeah.
Harper resisted longer.
Sure. Which is crazy,
though, because he thought that she killed his brother.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, he was more insta-chemistry because, like, he had to fight past that. And then that caused her to be very wary.
It was
insta-love
because he met her before he realized who she was. And he was like, this girl's awesome. And he's like, oh, shit.
The point is they were both obsessed with each other after one date and like locked
up. Serial killers, of course they're obsessed.
I mean, the same thing happened with Sloan and Rowan.
Yeah, I'm not mad about it.
That romance took place over years of time.
I know what Casey's going to say, that it was icky that he wanted to sleep with the girl he thought killed his brother. And it was sort of. But however she wrote it, she sold it to me.
Extremely icky. It was disgusting.
She sold it to me only because I knew she was not the one who did it.
Yeah. It was sold to me.
He didn't know that. He thinks at the end of this book, this is one of the biggest problems I had with the book. Up until the end of this book, okay, the whole entire book goes by. He still thinks she killed his brother, the entire novel. And the miscommunication that drives the tension is that she didn't do that. And then she never tells him. We never find out what happened that night.
She has bigger secrets.
That's crazy. But we don't find out any of them.
I know.
I read this book literally only to find out what happened that night. That's the only thing I cared about. And they didn't answer it.
Really? I cared about many other things.
Yeah, same. I mean, she was a bystander. That's basically what happened.
The one time they mention it is she's like, so she, we basically do have confirmation that she is the one who kills the girl who is actually in the crash. And then she takes over her identity.
And she saw Nolan laying on the road.
Yes.
So she was a bystander to the crash.
So she's still not innocent.
Right. But then her excuse for not calling the police is like, I was already the victim of a serial killer and I couldn't take the press. And like, oh, the victim of a serial killer being at the crime scene of a hit and run. This is too much. And I was like, you're disgusting. Like, you're an actual disgusting person. And you had better explain to me what happened that night, because you're like actually gross if you left people to die because you couldn't take being on camera.
Yeah, I don't think that's the whole story.
But they never give it to us. That's the whole reason.
I think we'll get it.
Excellent cliffhanger.
The second book.
That's crazy to me that the two characters meet. The whole reason that they're not immediately together is because of this night. And then we don't reconcile that thing. The male main character just gets over the fact that she kills his brother, even though she didn't. That's crazy.
He falls in love despite the adversity.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
She sold it to me. I didn't care.
Haley and Aaron, if you're out there, I would never fall in love with the man who murdered you. You better believe that.
Normal people wouldn't. It's a fiction book.
I don't care. It was disgusting. I could not.
You're already in serial killer land. You might as well assume they're going to be deplorable anyway.
Yep.
Deplorable, likable, deplorable exists to me.
You're thinking too hard. It's a rom-com.
I can't read that way. I can't just be like, you know what? That's fine.
Sometimes you just have to turn your brain off and enjoy it.
I can't.
I do that a lot.
I feel like I'm in the middle of YouTube because, like, I also turned my brain off, but it's only occasionally. And this
still gave me the ick, but yeah. I was like, whatever. That's funny enough and steamy enough that I don't care.
This happened to be the one time where I really needed to turn my brain off. And this book helped me turn my brain off so hard. And
the tension was fun.
Yeah.
No, it's just frustrating to read tension. That's all a miscommunication. Like,
I do agree. I didn't love the miscommunication trope in this book. I don't think it was
like rom-com 101 is miscommunication.
I know, but I think it's not as badly written as other miscommunication tropes.
Well, yeah, but I'm not going to give it 5 stars because it did the worst trope on earth better than other bad books. Like,
I am.
Hey.
Her writing, it's so fun. I'm gonna shut off my brain and just go along for the ride because I love her writing.
Well, that's your right as an American.
Also, like I'm saying, 5 whole stars for the relationship between Harper and Arthur.
I did like that relationship. I think the idea of a mentor serial killer is very intriguing.
I think she already was sort of doing it before she met him, and it just worked out perfectly. And the fact her taking care of him, despite his failing memory and all that, where also their banter is hilarious. I just loved that relationship. So, and with the crow.
Yeah. The murderous crow.
Morpheus.
Bird.
The crow was the highlight for me. The
Pretty
crow
bird.
Really what got me through the Pretty moments murder. Of this book.
Oh my God. Yes. No, the crow is amazing. I mean, I very much so appreciated the trigger warning at the beginning of this book about memory loss and Alzheimer's dementia, because I did have an uncle pass from Alzheimer's, and witnessing that mental decline over years, it takes a toll on you. It takes a toll on your family. It is kind of one of the most horrifying diseases to witness because it's just such a It strips you as a person, essentially. And that's horrifying to witness. So I'm glad she gave that trigger warning. I think that this is a very tastefully done memory decline where you can see the humanity in him. You can see that he really wants to be that same person. And like, he still has his fire and his personality, and they have their quips back and forth, even if it's sometimes he doesn't really recognize her. And I appreciated how he caused chaos because of it, because he's a serial killer that doesn't have memory. So he gets easily agitated by random people because, like, that's what happens, is you get very easily agitated. And so he just murders a tourist that doesn't actually deserve it.
Yeah, and the whole plot is he has all these bodies buried that are on a property that's now been sold because his nephew doesn't know it. Like, Arthur is the reason all this chaos is happening, and Harper and Nolan end up, because Harper has this leverage, he ends up helping her help Arthur.
Yes.
And he's like, wow, this girl is doing all this for this old man. She's so kind.
Let's dig up bodies together.
Casey's face.
Casey, if you found the love of your life, would you dig up bodies for them?
Yeah. As long as I didn't kill my sibling, then we're good.
Good to know.
Pretty murder bird.
Pretty murder bird. Eating human flesh. I was like, oh God.
Okay. This is actually another thing that kind of bothered me about the book, which is just that I thought she's a gardener. And I thought the point that, like, the reason why the garden is thriving is because she's using human remains in the fertilizer, which I think is, like, funny. Like, that's funny. But also, as a serial killer, it's kind of stupid.
I was sitting there, I was like, you should have been caught so many times.
Yeah. So easily discovered. Also, just like suspending the disbelief of so many people going missing in this one town over the years.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure the sheriff knows she's doing it.
Yeah. Right. But at a certain point, other authorities would get involved, especially when there's like 70 people who've gone missing in this town. And you're like,
hey, carnage. Well, okay.
Yeah, but they're tourists. They leave.
Yeah.
One cadaver dog and Harper's whole life is over.
Like, now that is true.
That is true. So because she has put these bodies through a wood chipper, which does not get rid of them by any
means. Which Nolan points out, the bones don't dissolve. And she's
no. So now she has spread the wealth of dead bodies throughout her gardens. Like, that's a lot of dead bodies.
And to be honest with you, it actually made me judge her really hard. I was like, look, girl, I don't care that you're a serial killer, but this is stupid. Like, you are going to get caught at some point if this is how you're disposing of these bodies. Like, this is just not smart.
Yeah. Okay. So I have this as like one of the ending questions in our document, which I don't know if you all have read. And I'm just going to say it because it's literally like what we're talking about right now. I have to ask this question because it was bugging me the whole book. How has no one in Bryn Weaver's universe been caught by the police? Because it continues to dumbfound me, especially these two.
It's fiction, guys.
Nolan and Harper cannot hold a candle to Rowan and Sloane for the level of thinking that they have. I can understand getting away with. Now, no,
they're way more impulsive in this book.
Yeah, I was like, bruh.
I was like, oh, we're just stabbing random people.
We're just cutting off the heads of random people and putting them in bird feeders.
And there's this vigilante journalism group that's after them and is in the town, and they're still doing it.
Yeah, the TikTok girls would have solved that so fast.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, like I said, it's fiction. Turn your brain off.
I'm so curious. I will say, like, the citizen, like, journalist weird Reddit thread thing, I'm so curious to see where that goes, because they've now declared war on Cape Carnage.
And it's now only interesting because of what the sheriff did at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think they could have gotten away with it if he, like, fell from a high place and that was it. But then the sheriff literally murdered the other person because he wants these citizen journalists to come into town. And I'm like, ooh, this is...
He has a game to play and I'm interested to see.
Yes.
Yes, he is.
But he totally knows what Nolan and Harper are doing.
100%.
Like,
that's and Arthur. He knows what's up.
Well, he murdered Arthur's daughter. Of course he knows who Arthur is.
And he knows the way he was questioning Nolan when Nolan was stupid enough to, like, walk in the police station. I'm like, dude, you know this whole time he knew what was up, the way he acts.
That's the other thing. Okay. Part of why I had trouble suspending my disbelief in this book is because the fuck-ups are so egregious. Like, him walking into the police station, having not even thought out fully what he was going to say and how he was going to explain his behavior and how he saw the drone and blah, blah, blah. I was just like, dude, like, I can believe very high level serial killers like in Butcher and Blackbird don't get caught, because, to be frank, many police officers really aren't that smart. But these people, I was like, this is just flagrant. This is flagrant. This is flagrant bad behavior, bad lying, obvious corpse disposal. Like, guys, come on.
And it's a lot of murders all in one week.
Yes. in one place and in a very concentrated amount of time. Like,
like, yeah,
because Slogan was other than the sheriff.
Yeah, because Slogan and Rowan killed over years.
Yes, and spread out the locations, like, all across the country.
I'm so curious to see if Sloan and Rowan show up in this book, because, I mean, the spoiler is that it turns out Harper is actually the girl that was saved from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.0 by yeah. Sloan, and she had to eat her, like, had to eat human meat from that Texas Chainsaw Massacre dude, which I think is the hamburger boyfriend. Meat that they were talking about.
Yeah, I think it is. I think she had to eat her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Which is horrible trauma.
Horrible trauma. And so she becomes a serial killer because she wants to emulate Sloan.
Yeah.
Well, she wants to take charge like Sloan did and not be weak like she was in the basement. I don't know how it got from point A to there, but.
But I'm very curious to see if Sloan keeps track of her, because I feel like Sloan is pretty good at that stuff. And I feel like if she sees this, because I'm pretty sure Sloan was also tracking this subreddit thread in her book, and they could never figure her out because she's too smart for that. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if she sees that and is like, oh, shit. And she goes up to help the romance.
If anything, maybe they're going to take him out.
Ooh, that's a good point.
That would be spicy.
Oh.
If the next book is these two couples having a face off, I'll read it.
We all know who wins that battle.
I'm afraid she would have some sort of serial killer orgy, and that frightens me.
Oh, no.
That's also true. Yeah.
No, they are married by now, I think.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're monogamous.
Serial killer? Fair.
They're also murdering people, so.
There are no rules in these books.
Right. Okay. Anyway, we've touched on this a little bit already, but I guess we can address it explicitly. Like, it's hard not to compare this book to Butcher and Blackbird because they're very in the same vein of, you know, novels still, like both serial killer romances. I know I liked Butcher and Blackbird more, which is, you know, obvious at this point. But how did you two feel?
I agree. Butcher and Blackbird is better. Yeah.
While both were 5 stars, the plot in Butcher and Blackbird is way more fun.
Yeah.
And the romance in that one is just like top tier. Top yeah. tier romance.
And yeah. Rowan's voice on the audiobook.
Okay, I did no audiobooks, so.
Yeah. I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Same.
I still remember Casey being like, I had to pull over for a minute.
Yeah, I was sitting in my car, like, jaw on the floor, like, clenching the steering wheel with my hands, like,
fair.
Don't worry,
I got you know you wrote a good story when you've got people, like, so distracted they can't listen to the audiobook and drive.
Yeah, I yeah. was like, this is too much stimulation for my mind to be driving. Okay. Anyway, another huge focal point of the book is the town itself. It has a very strong identity in the novel. It's this like main tourist trap that has this like murderous legacy.
Picture murdery Stars Hollow, honestly.
Literally.
Yes. Like Gilmore Girls, but famous for serial killers.
Hey, both in the Northeast.
Yes. And there's like the town has had all these shipwrecks in its past that resulted in like many deaths around there. And then there was a famous serial killer who we later learn is the sheriff. But that has resulted in the town having this very strong kind of dark allure. And the town leans into it and does all of these like murder fest activities, basically kind of making light and making fun of the town's dark reputation. Unbeknownst to the townspeople, there's like 4 active serial killers in their midst.
It's also hokey. It blends in.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that they sell fake blood and fake body parts.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I loved the go-kart race. With
that was so fun. Oh, my God.
Yes. I was about to say that was the dumbest part.
No, so I liked fun. The race. I did hate that she drives off a cliff. I was like, what?
Yes, the kart races themselves were a funny concept.
Yeah.
The whole rescue thing, meh.
And
it was
sorry.
Such a weird tangent in the story.
It was such a weird tangent. And she can't swim. So why the fuck would Nolan not immediately think, oh, she can't swim. She can't be Harper. Because Harper's car drew off a cliff, she would have to know how to swim to get out.
That is actually so true, and I didn't even think of that.
Didn't think about it.
That's immediately what I thought about. I was immediately like, didn't she drive off a cliff into the ocean if she was the real Harper? So the only way she would know how to survive...
I don't know. It could be exactly what happened, and she like staged it and didn't actually go over in the car, you know?
Well, she didn't. That's pretty obvious.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. He could. Okay. It's not a plot hole because he could believe that.
It's not a plot hole. My thing is that I'm like, you should then.
It should
have
been a question at some point, but he could have just been like, I know. She staged it. Never. No one was in the car.
Didn't they find a body?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they never found her body.
But yes, I thought the cart race itself, the idea was super cute. I didn't love her jumping off a cliff. I thought that was a little crazy.
I was reading like, what the fuck?
It makes me think that La Plume like cut her brakes because she said she couldn't brake.
Or she did. True. However, I feel like La Plume
was just a girl building a cart by herself and stuff failed.
Yeah.
But also, like, she hopped a curb, and then hopped some hay bales, and then went through people, and then went down this other street, and then through that street, through a yard, through the cliff. I'm like, girl.
So unbelievable.
If you had just said she barreled through the finish line and accidentally kept going, I would have had a better time believing it.
Right. Also, like, if you drive off a cliff, like, you're gonna die. Like, in an unprotected go-kart. Like
the impact alone.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like
hitting concrete.
You're dead on the water.
Yeah.
Whatever. That part, I'm like, fine. That was hokey, but fine.
I'm like, okay, so his search and rescue career was put in entirely for this exact scene.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually, it came in handy a lot, but...
Right. So the other thing, I liked the town itself, and I liked the kind of, you know, cutesy small town, murder town shtick. However, anyone who has lived in a relatively small town can tell you that Harper would not be getting away with any of this. No. Like,
no, small town people are nosy.
People are so nosy. People saw her and the guy at the restaurant and had already been talking about it. And you think you're gallivanting across town, killing tourists, and no one's seen a thing. No one's noticed a damn thing. Like,
I mean, I don't know. She's on that estate that's very hidden.
And also, they may be like, you're right. These tourists fucking suck. Do it.
Yeah, they may. Maybe they all know and just are like, eh.
I feel like you'd have to be, because if you're killing this many tourists, every business owner in town has interacted with someone who's now dead.
Yeah, like, but they all suck, so they don't care.
Apparently.
The one apparently pushed over a pregnant nurse.
Apparently no one in the whole town is asking any questions.
Oh, no, they're asking questions. They're just not saying them out loud.
There's like three hotel owners in town. They've all probably had like 10 tourists apiece just go missing and vanish. And they're like, whatever.
I don't know.
They already paid, so we don't care.
Yep.
I mean.
No one ever seems to come check out, but I guess that's fine.
Okay, well, okay. So we're talking about Harper and how that's her whole thing. What about, do you think Nolan's backstory is strong enough for him to want revenge this bad? He's like stripping tattoos off dudes and putting them in a book.
the skin book.
Ugh.
So... the event of his brother dying, turning him into this kind of person, I think is believable. It was very extreme. Like, cutting someone's tattoo off their body and having it in a book is like real sociopath behavior. Like, it was a little hard for me to believe that he was not a more horrible, demented person when he took things like to that level.
Yeah.
Which is
like,
also,
that was the first time he'd done something like that.
Right.
We are led to believe, at least. So.
And that was part of my whiplash with him and Harper, is I'm like, okay, this is the man who, like, for years has made this revenge his sole purpose of living, has not only killed the people who he holds responsible for his brother's death, but has tortured them, cut skin off their body, taken photos of them being tortured, and made a scrapbook out of it. And he's just sort of like, but this girl's hot, though.
And she's like, I like that he'll chase me to the ends of the earth.
Right. She said, low-key sexy.
Put that skin in there.
What was it?
A man with follow-through.
Lay me down, murder daddy, or whatever. She's like, no one thinks that. But that line was my favorite thing. That was so funny.
Jaw on the floor.
It made me laugh out loud. I can't be mad at this book for anything because it's so freaking funny.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I don't believe most of it, but it's so funny.
It's fiction. Turn your brain off.
Yeah. And that's totally fair that Casey cannot do that. There are a lot of readers that cannot do that.
Being so smart and critical thinking.
Yes.
I wish I could. My life would be so easy.
I know. I've always said that I wish I could be like so like unaware of things. I wish I could be that.
You need to
unaware.
Do a sports rom-com for Casey.
Oh my God. Yes.
Other than Deep End, I guess.
I acquiesced to the cowboy romance. All right. You have to give me another year before we get to a sports romance.
My sister just used my library card. I get notifications. This is a side note. I look in my Libby and it's like, your hold is ready. And it's an F1 romance. I was like, Hannah, did you do this?
Is she like F1?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
I was like, there's something for everybody.
Right. Okay. Anyway. So we've already mentioned how much we love Arthur. And I agree with what we kind of said before. I thought the depiction of his memory loss was done very well. And I thought that their relationship was very relatable. I think we've all had relatives that have gone through dementia, Alzheimer's type of, end of their life. And I think Arthur killing that tourist just because he found him annoying is like one of the only parts in the book that got actual laugh out loud reaction from me. That he just like,
not the dog.
It was so ridiculous. Like she was just like, and we're killing good people now too, or neutral people, like whatever. He's a serial killer with Alzheimer's, so he's going to do bad shit.
His dog pooped in his roses.
Yeah. And it just kind of made me laugh because also I want to act like that sometimes. Like obviously I don't actually want to kill someone. But sometimes those small slights really get under your skin.
And the microaggressions.
Yeah. The fact that he actually killed him, I just thought it was so funny.
It's taking it to the nth degree. But I mean, it's more Nolan's fault than anything for getting him his murder bag.
Yeah.
He's trying to be nice to this old man, knowing it's like the key to Harper's heart. Little does he know, murder bag.
Yeah.
And Arthur's a sophisticated murderer, not a wood chipper murderer.
Yeah.
Manolo Ricci's.
Yeah, it did also surprise me, though, that he didn't have Harper like more reined in a little bit because he was so detail oriented and disciplined and she could have benefited from that a little bit.
Actually, how did you not laugh out loud when she's staring at the head in the birdhouse and she called Arthur and was like, did you do this? And Nolan's like, what?
That part got a chuckle out of me. It did.
Yeah. When Nolan's like, she's going to be so freaked out by this. And she's just like, Arthur, what'd you do?
No, that is actually probably my favorite scene in the book because he's just waiting for her to freak out. And I was like, and here's where he finds out that he is out of his league.
Yeah. Like, you are nowhere near this woman when it comes to body count.
It was perfect.
The other way around.
Yeah. I will give perfect. It to it. Iconic meet cute.
Yeah. We've talked through most of the questions without actually asking them, but I want to talk about the end, two things. I want to talk about how do we think about the ending? We know more about Arthur and Harper and Nolan and the sheriff, but before we get there, I also want to ask about that weird sex scene at the end. Because that's where I was like, oh no. Yeah.
I was...
It made my personal... appendages hurt.
So to be a little more explicit, Nolan pierces Harper's nipples as part of sex play. So they're having sex and he
while she's recovering from a near drowning.
Yeah, which is probably the most unbelievable part, to be honest. But yeah, I did not have that on my bingo card. Like I would not have thought of it. Nope. I didn't dislike it. Definitely not my thing, but I was happy to read it.
They both have a sort of pain dominance kink, but yeah, did not see that coming.
I mean, I think random. I verbally said ow out loud where I was like, wow. But I'm also like, I'm not going to yuck people's yums. I feel
I'm
like
yucking it, guys. That was weird. And unsanitary.
Okay. He did alcohol wipes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say if anyone is going to do it, I would trust him to do it only because of his like EMT like background.
That's true. I thought you were going to say because he was good at cutting tattoos off people.
No, that was not where I was going with that. I was going with the search and rescue training.
Yeah, there were two paths there.
All good skills to have.
I do have a fair amount of piercings. And so I don't think feel like the pain of it necessarily put me off that much.
It still makes me like not makes me need to hold it close. I cannot.
Yeah, it didn't really bother me. No. It honestly, I think it would have put me off if this was like a regular romance. But I feel like serial killers, it just makes sense that they have this penchant for pain, play, and rough masochism. Sex. Like, so there are things in this book, like sexuality wise, that I would cringe at in other books that I'm like, well, you know, they're psychopaths and they need this. So
I was like, oh, ropes. Okay. And then while she's tied up, he does that. And I was like, oh,
yeah, that was actually probably the weirder part to me is that she was tied up and doing the piercing. I was like, okay, there's a lot happening right now.
And this is all like you get through this dramatic scene where he's saving her life. Then this happens. And then you get all the like plot twists that you aren't supposed to see coming, the climax. I was like, that was a weird insert. Brandy, yeah. that one actually, that was the weirdest one for me. It's not true. Even the murders.
That is true. I remember when I was reading, we get to this scene and I was like, you guys really are not worried enough about the police right now.
Yeah.
I was like, don't you have like two more? That's the other thing that irks me. They had like two more bodies to dig up.
Yes. I was like, your work is not done, guys. Like, stop having sex. It's time to be serious.
Like, okay, well, if you're feeling well enough to do this, go get a shovel, girl.
Yeah.
Protect Arthur at all costs. Who cares about your stuff?
Yeah. Like, I know that you guys kill people all the time, but you need to be worried about the people on your tail right now. Like, maybe now is not the time for like a 3-hour sex interlude.
And also, don't they still have a body in their trunk?
Yes, they never got rid of the body. I was like, you actively. Oh. It stresses me out, actually, how bad they were at being so serial killers.
I'm sitting here thinking also about how my dad has now been listening to this podcast.
Oh, no.
Tell him to skip this episode. I don't want him to hear me talking about nipple piercings.
He listened to it on purpose for that reason.
Yeah. So just don't mention it. Okay, cool.
So we have been on so many tangents this episode. We're on one.
There's a lot of tangents in this book.
That's true. Okay, so the ultimate ending is that the sheriff is La Plume. That's kind of the big twist at the end.
I don't get that, but whatever.
Yeah, I was kind of like...
Like, how long ago did Arthur's daughter die? How old is the sheriff?
That's like 19 years.
What I thought. I mean, the sheriff is older, so I was like, whatever. Mm. Anyway.
How did Arthur not figure that out? He's smart.
I thought
unless he knew and is just letting it exist. I don't know.
And also, it's really rare for serial killers to be dormant that long. And he had a very unique signature. So I was like, has he been killing this whole time and is hoping to pin it on other people or what? Like, we don't know.
I will say throughout the book, both Harper and Arthur are incredibly cautious around that specific sheriff. Like, they basically are like, hey, I wouldn't trust that. Like, they were very hesitant. So I think they do know something, but they don't. I mean, obviously a fear of the police, but like.
He's a police officer. Yeah. And they're murdering people. So
there seemed to be a more healthy fear about them. Because normally, like, it seems like they didn't really give a shit about police. But specifically that sheriff, they were like, we don't want to get him involved.
Well, they kept thinking that he was an idiot. They all talk about how he's dumb.
I'm not sure there are more police than him.
And yeah, he's the one sheriff in this town. I think he has one deputy too, but they talk about how he doesn't actually investigate ever. So they're not ever worried about him.
It makes me think there's a bigger plot. Like maybe he's lured all these other killers here, like working behind the scenes.
He's been killing and is trying to frame them. I think he ultimately wants them to take the fall for the things that have been happening. Or something like that, because he clearly is playing with them and we don't know what his plot is yet, but there's a reason that he's let them carry on doing this when it's obvious he knows.
Okay, here's the question then, mostly for Casey. Because of this massive cliffhanger, will you read the next book?
No.
Oh my God.
I'm not interested in it at all.
Oh my God.
I'll be reading it.
Same.
You can tell me what happens and then I'll know.
No. You just get to wonder for the rest of your life.
We're never going to let you know.
I'm happy with that. I really don't care.
Oh my God. Okay.
I really wanted to know. I
have like a headache also. From how many times I've rolled my eyes aggressively today.
You're welcome.
I'm getting forehead wrinkles.
No, it's just not that. I don't know. I just thought I knew that the sheriff was involved somehow. And so I just didn't really care. I was like, yep, it happened. So I was right. Like,
there's about to be like a serial killer convention showdown in Cape Carnage. I'm in. And there's smut.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
As long as nobody harms Arthur.
Well, Arthur's time might be up.
Okay, well, then I'm out as soon as Arthur's out.
Like, I don't know how much Arthur can help these days. So, anyway, that's the end of our questions. Do you guys have book recommendations?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
I don't really know. That's hard to compare.
What do we recommend for Butcher and Blackbird?
I don't know.
We recommended Bride.
That makes
sense. The Final Girls support group.
Okay, that makes sense.
Casey said Killing Eve, the TV show.
Oh, I'm surprised at myself.
Bride came from Catherine. Shocker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Morbidly Yours.
Which there's no serial killers.
Is there really that many serial killer romances? I don't think so. It's really just Bryn Weaver out here doing it.
That's true. Anyone else who tries is clearly a copycat.
Yes. So, yeah, Morbidly Yours follows an Irishman and an American who moves to Ireland, and he is a mortician, mortuary assistant, and he owns his own kind of funeral home. So.
Yeah, that's a good rec. It's so hard to think of a recommendation because she really has employed a very unique niche. Like, I cannot really think of an equivalent or even something that's similar. I think like the last Bryn Weaver book, I'm going to recommend not a book, but I'm going to recommend a podcast. And I listened to this podcast so long ago, but I still think about it all the time. It's called In the Clearing. And the main character in the podcast is a woman who found out that her dad is a serial killer.
Mm.
And he ultimately gets arrested, and she's the reason he gets arrested because she turns him in. So it is very fascinating and interesting to kind of hear about her childhood and what their lives were like. And her father is still the suspect in a bunch of murders that they essentially can't prove that he did, but there's a lot of murders that people think he did. And so she kind of talks about her childhood, like what her dad was like, and then basically finding out that she was a serial killer and being the one who turned him in.
Yeah. I'm going to throw it back a long ways to Spooky Season 1, to The Guest List. Also Irish, weirdly. Yeah. That one is just a fun murder mystery where it is similarly like layer after layer. Like, you don't know who the like big bad is in the book, and everybody is sort of a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a good one.
Good rec. All right. Well, these are just our opinions. We love hearing from you guys. So hit us up at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere, or busygirlspod.com. We post book reviews and like our Busy Girl ratings and stuff. So you can look into our past episodes and also what we recommend reading based on the books that you liked. And please rate and review our podcast 5 stars. We love to get feedback, ratings and reviews wise, but also in our DMs.
Yep. Slide into our DMs.
Okay. Well, with that, I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.